I'm exhausted.
What have you been doing?
Just been running all over the place. I've been getting a lot of sleep. I'm just still exhausted. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Bird Chirp Podcast. I am your host, Elijah Hickman. Alongside is the co-host, Micah Martin. What's going on, good buddy?
Big chilling.
Big chilling. Good deal.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. What have you been up to? We've both been pretty busy.
Yeah, what haven't I been up to? I want to talk about your Mexico trip first.
Okay.
Yeah, we want to get into that first. I want to know how that was.
It was great. All around, it was really, really good.
We have to pause. Sorry. Bo has decided, F you, Dad, and I'm shitting in the kitchen. So, give me just a second. I'm going to take care of this.
All right.
I'll be right back.
Okay. All right. So, we left. We flew out Friday morning, and we landed in Cabo San Lucas. I thought, or we all thought it was going to be like a three and a half hour flight. We get on the plane and we're about to take off and stuff. And the captain, comes on and he's like, once we're wheels up, whatever, it's going to be, 2 hours and 30 minutes or something like that. And we're like, okay. And so that was a really nice surprise. But we land in Cabo San Lucas and where I don't notice it until I'm literally getting off the plane, but we're not like at a gate with like a jetway. And or is that what those are called? The little hallway to the door or whatever.
Yeah. I don't know what those are called, to be honest.
We're not at one of those. We're literally just kind of pulled up in the
parked in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just parked, there on the tarmac. I mean, I'll just, just go down the stairs. And then, we get on this little tram thing that like takes us inside to go through customs. So this is my fourth time out of the U.S. Two of them have been cruise ships. And the third one was we were down in, Big Bend National Park down like South Texas on the Rio Grande, and we swam across. So like kind of sort of technically. But this is my first time ever flying outside the U.S. and really, really having to go through customs, which I can confirm that customs is an absolute joke. But we get there, and the way this airport's, like, how it's set up is really goofy. We, like, go inside and then, like, go upstairs and then across this, like, we basically go to the other end of the airport and then we kind of turn around and, oh, it's just super weird. So we like go in, they have like a passport checkpoint or whatever, and scan your passport, whatever. And then by the time I walked to where we were needed to be, we scanned our passports and then got to the baggage claim. My golf clubs were already there waiting on me, and I was like, shoot, okay. This is also the first time I've ever flown with golf clubs, which that soft side bag I have, I've got like the extension, like the tent pole or whatever in the middle, is fantastic. Everything in there's perfectly fine. I took like a hoodie and like kind of wrapped it between the clubs and stuff and like a towel.
Yeah.
Which I've thought about doing it before, and I might do it for next time I have to fly with clubs, is getting a set, like a, $15-$20 set of like the
iron covers,
just so they're not banging together the whole, yep, real bad. But yeah, it worked great. Anyways,
realistically, like once they're loaded and stuff, they move around just as much as your car ride, probably.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Probably, it's just the loading and unloading.
Yeah, and that's what. So I bless you. So I'd never flown with clubs before, and so I asked my brother-in-law and my father-in-law, who both have, and just kind of their opinions on them, if they had any suggestions for like a hard side case or whatever. And my brother-in-law was basically just like, he's like, I know people who have, I've heard horror stories about soft side cases, but at the same time, I've seen pictures and videos of hard side cases that, you know, you pick them up and they've got a hole in the side of them. So it just kind of depends. But he said his biggest advice would be flying direct, because like those connections and stuff, those are where you
Yeah,
get
the
the
more
biggest
stops
problems.
you got,
Yeah.
the worse.
And my father-in-law basically, he said he 90% of the time he flies the same way I did, just like one of those soft side cases, and he gets like the tent pole up in the middle, and he said he's never really had problems with it. So that's what I did, and it turned out to be fine, so all good so far. But so I get my bag, kind of take a peek, and oh, let me back up. So we get to the airport in Fort Worth, and we flew out of DFW. So we get there, and we've got plenty of time, but Sarah's like, hey, what was she doing? She, I don't remember if she was going to the bathroom or something, but she's like, I want Starbucks. The map says it's right here around the corner. Will you go look? Because if it's not too far, then I'll come, like I'll get some. If not, then like just trying to figure out how far it is. Okay, so I take off walking, and I walk and I walk and I walk. Our gate was whatever, B14. So like that's where we were hanging out at. Well, I walk for probably 10 minutes, and I get to a Starbucks at B34 or something like that. And I call her, and I'm like, hey, I'm here, but the line is super, super long. Instead of you walking all the way down here, do you just want me to order you something? She's like, I'm in line. And I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, that's impossible. There's no way you would have walked past me, especially because I'm wearing a cowboy hat.
Yeah,
So I was
right.
like, there's no way you're walking past me. And she's
Yeah, I
like,
thought it was funny your attire for the airplane ride, because like the other day we had just talked about like I don't wear my Sitka hunting patterns out in public, and I was like, oh
yeah.
yeah, no, me neither. And then you had a cowboy hat on with your Sitka subalpine whatever jacket
It's like
that is,
that
and I was like,
lightweight, yeah.
my boy, what are
Well,
you on?
so I've got those, I forget what they're called, but those like green Sitka pants that I wear a lot, that they're super lightweight and stuff. And I was like, these are gonna be perfect to fly in. I knew I was gonna wear the cowboy hat anyways. Well, when I woke up, I like opened the door to go on the balcony, and it was cold. Like it was like chilly, chilly. And I was like, I was like, I don't want like a hoodie because I'll sweat straight through it on the plane. But I was like, I think I would like something on my arms. And so that was the only thing that I could really think of, especially in the moment. And it was great for what it was. But yeah, I do regret it being the pattern it was. And ironically, one of the guys that was going down there for the wedding was on our flight, and he saw me in the airport. And I said something a couple days later, and I was like, oh, like you saw the cowboy hat or whatever. He's like, no, that wasn't even my first thought. My first thought was that guy's wearing a lot of camo. And I was like, okay, well, yeah. But yeah, so turns out the Starbucks that she meant for me to go to was less than 100 yards from our gate. It was just one of those ones where like there's not really a sign for it, and there's
Yeah,
kind
it's
of
kind of a
like,
kiosk deal more than a
well,
actual.
yeah, it's kind of one of those things where it's like there's like this like almost like a cul-de-sac, you know, and so there's like a restaurant and a bar on the left, and then a Panda Express or whatever it kind of in the backside, and then like the whole right side's like a convenience store kind of deal, and then the Starbucks is inside the convenience store, like in the corner, so I just walked right past it, never saw it. So she ended up actually getting me a sandwich from there, so whatever. But so we get, so fast forward, we oh so when we get off the plane in Mexico, they give us like this piece, like this little form, you know, to fill out for customs, I guess. And so I get my golf bag, and we still got like a while to go. And the whole time after they gave us the paper, we're like, hey, do you have a pen? No, I don't have a pen. Do you have a pen? No, I don't have a pen. I'm like, nobody's got a pen. There's three of us. Nobody has a pen. And we're all like more disappointed in ourselves because it's like, when do I not have a pen? I always have a pen. Why don't I have a pen? And so we get up there, and like right before you get in line for custom, there's like this little like, well, there's actually a bunch of tables like on the path that you walk that are all supposed to have pins because they're designed for you to be able to like pull off to the side and like, you know, use the table. Well, none of them have a pin except for one right there at the line, and it's got two pins on it, and it's connected to it by a string of rubber bands and like a yard of tape holding the rubber band onto the pin. And the one pin or one of the two pins on that table don't work, just don't work at all. And so we're like, okay, great. I guess we're just going to have to wait in line or whatever. One guy finished up with it and it was all good. But so we finally get our stuff, you know, done up, you know, all our forms, filled out and everything. And then we go on and, you know, go through this line. The line was going pretty fast, but it was just super long. So we get through the line and everything. And, you know, it's mine and Sarah's turn to go up. And so we like step up there and she's like, are you declaring anything? Blah, 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 whatever. And we're like, no. And she's like, hit the red button. We hit the red button. She's like, go ahead. We just walk straight on through the doors. That was it. And I was like, what? What just happened? I thought I was going to, like, Sarah was quizzing me because I thought I was going to have to know, like, her birthday, my birthday, where she was born, how long we're here, what we're here for, when we leave, like all these trivia questions. I thought I was going to have to know all this. And then we get up there, they were like, are you declaring? And we were like, no. They're like, go. Okay, great.
Yeah, it's also one of those deals. It's like, you're going to, Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, you know, it's like from Dallas, Texas.
Right.
It's not a huge high risk.
No, plus, not really.
Border's pretty wide open right now, so I think they're probably getting told from their higher ups. Just ask them a couple questions and pass.
Sure.
Them
yeah, just go through the motions. It's all pretty much a dog and pony show anyways. We get through and like immediately walk out, and then people just start harassing us about like, oh, you need a taxi, oh, you need a ride, blah, 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 this, blah, blah, yeah. That. I'm like, oh my gosh. So we already had a ride like all booked up and stuff. And so when you literally, as you walk outside of that airport, there's a bar on the left, like a little, like, I don't even know what you want to call it, like a cabana almost. There's just like a bar on the left.
Tiki bar,
tiki bar, sure. There's like a bar on the left, and then all these like different taxi services and stuff on the right. And then there's like another section, that same thing. And then there's another section, same thing. And so there's like three bars like right outside this airport. And so I'm assuming the whole point of it is like grab a drink while you wait on your ride, which isn't a terrible idea. It takes a little bit, and you know, a little, just trying to figure out exactly, you know, get some stuff straightened out. Like, we had it booked or anything, and then once we did, it was like, oh, he'll be here in about 10 minutes. Okay. So, he gets there. Guy's very cool. Picked us up in it was a Toyota Hiace. It's like a van, but it's a really cool, nice van, honestly. We rode around in those a lot of the weekend, actually. But so it's like 45 minutes from the airport to the hotel we stayed at. We stayed at the Cape, in Cabo San Lucas. It's like just about as south as you can go on that peninsula, because it's in Baja California is where it is. Which I didn't know Baja just means lower, because when California was a part of Mexico, it was just Lower California is what it was, which, I mean, makes sense because where it is. But so we get to the hotel, and I'm trying to think. I don't think anything crazy happened. I did think it was kind of funny that, like, we got in the van. He, like, gave us waters and stuff, and the water bottles said agua on them, which I'd never thought about it. I mean, I totally understand why, I just never thought about it. And so I thought it was kind of funny. We get to the hotel, you know, unload our bags and everything, and we've got a little bit, like 30 minutes or so before we can check in under our room, or before we can get into our room. They've got this giant whale in the lobby. This thing is, dude, I don't know, probably like 25 foot long. This whale is huge. Well, yes, but it's made out of like driftwood.
Oh, okay.
It's super, super cool. I took some pictures of it, and it just looks like garbage in the pictures. It's huge, and it's also super cool. It's all open lobby, you know, super airy and stuff. It's a really, really cool hotel. They, the way they, down there, it's very rocky, like in the water, and, you know, just the terrain's very rocky and sandy and stuff, and so the way that they basically built the hotel into the side of this hill was very cool, and like how they capitalized on the natural different elevation or different levels and stuff was really, really cool. But we sat down at the pool bar, and we got a drink and some fish tacos. Dude, what were the fish tacos? I think they were tuna. Oh my gosh, dude, it was blackened tuna. Oh, those tacos were amazing. Best tacos I've ever had. And these tortillas, dude, the flour tortillas, they were like, you could almost see through them. They were so thin. Oh my gosh, they were so good.
Light and fluffy.
Yes. But yeah, and we get there and everything, and you know, get checked into our room, and there's like this big swing on our balcony, which was super, super cool, and from our balcony you can see basically the entire hotel. Basically, like, you can see it, you know, it faces the water. You can see a couple of the restaurants down below us. You can see the what's it called? The pool, the infinity pool, the beach, all that kind of stuff. I think, yes. So Friday night, we went to the restaurant there. What was that restaurant called? Mantua? Something? I don't remember. It's like the fancy restaurant on there. It was, there's like seven of us. And so we did like family style. And so it was just like, I don't even remember what all we ate. There's so much food. It was all so good. I didn't eat anything the whole trip that I ate. And I was like, I don't really like that. But everything was just amazing. And then Saturday we get up and we're supposed to be, I'm supposed to be in the lobby. I'm supposed to be in the lobby at 7:30. We're leaving at 7:45 to go play golf. So I'm up. My first alarm goes off at 6. I'm just up. And so let me kind of set the room, the hotel room. So you like walk in, you kind of walk in, and then just the hallway kind of curves to the right. So once you curve to the right, you're facing, you know, the balcony and the rest of the room. So the bathroom is right here on your right. You know, you walk into the bathroom, the toilet's like a separate room on the right, and then on the left's this glass shower. So if you, you know, keep going down the hallway past the bathroom, you know, there's the two queen beds and then the balcony. So the wall between the shower and the beds, solid glass. Now, if you get, I don't know, from about probably 18 inches off the ground to probably about shoulder height for us, it's frosted. But above that and below that, it's not. It's just glass. You know, that'd be really cool. Might be kind of fun if, like, honeymoon, or even if, you know, you're just in there, like, you know, with your spouse or whatever the deal is. But we had two queen beds. In what world? I don't know. But, like, that's what I'm saying. We have two queen beds. And so it's like, well, normally that's either going to be two couples or, you know,
family,
parents, like, and their kids. Or in, like, our case, it's me and my wife and her sister. So it's like, here's the deal, man. I don't want this glass shower at all. And after talking to other people about it, kind of throughout the weekend or whatever, they're like, oh, well, there's a curtain in ours. It's like, yeah, we have the same thing, but there's a curtain. We didn't have a curtain. We don't have a curtain. And I realized specifically the rooms that have, like, just a single king, all of them have a curtain. Ours don't have a curtain. There's not even a curtain there. Like, there's no place for a curtain, nothing. And I was like, okay, so this is fun. So it, I mean, like, yeah, the glass is really frosted.
Glass, like, yeah, it helps, but also, like, I don't.
I
don't want to see anything, and B, right. I don't want somebody seeing my thing.
Right. So. Yeah, exactly. And especially because it's like, oh, well, can't have, like, lights on in the bathroom if you are going to shower, because then everything's backlit, and that makes it worse. So we had to kind of take turns, just being like, okay, I'm going to shower.
Hey, I'm going to shower real quick. Like, I'll give me, you know, 20.
Yeah, I'm going to go hang out at the bar or on the balcony or whatever. Exactly. So it really wasn't ever much of a problem, but it, you know, it wasn't convenient.
No,
that's funny. So Saturday morning when I get up, I did not think about this. I, like, went ahead, I laid my clothes out and everything just because I assumed I was going to oversleep and be in a rush, whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't entirely think about that it's an hour behind. And so me waking up at 6 was actually 7 a.m., which is me being late for work. And so I was like, okay. But the main thing I didn't account for was the fact that I can't turn on, like, because I was like, oh, I'll just get ready in the bathroom. I can't turn any of those lights on because that wall's glass. It'll be the same as me opening the curtain for the balcony. It's just gonna light up the whole room, which is ironic because the lighting in the room was garbage. They had, like, a lamp here and a lamp there, and I was like, why is it so dark? It's so dark all the time. But it was fine. I kind of turned the hallway lamp on and got dressed in the hallway, and it wasn't that big of a deal. But yeah, so I went downstairs and I was super crazy early. And so I went to one of the bars and got a, I don't even remember what it was. It's like a banana, or there's a mango something smoothie. It had, like, yogurt in it. It was awesome. It was probably the best smoothie I've ever had in my life. It was amazing. So there was nine of us playing golf. Well, there was 8 of us playing golf. There was 9 of us going to the course. So we get to the course. I don't know if you can see it on FaceTime, but it's just a little black ball marker. But we played at Puerto. Is that how you say it?
Puerto.
Los.
You're supposed to roll your R's.
Puerto. Los Cabos. Crazy nice course. This thing was awesome. It was, we get there, we get settled in and everything, and I don't know, probably half the guys maybe didn't bring clubs. Like, they're just running or whatever. Not a big deal. So we go to the range, and we're hitting on the range for a while, and honestly, like, I had pretty much, like, I'd hit probably like 7 or 8 balls. And I was like, I feel good. My swing feels good. Things are going right. I was like, I'm pretty much done. Before some of the guys got to the range. And so I was like, great. Like, oh, our tee time's not for 45 minutes. I don't really know what to do. And there was a lady kind of over off to the side. She, like, came up and she was like, hey, like, you know, like, I'm a masseuse, blah, blah, blah. If you want, like, come over, I'll, you know, rub your shoulder, rub your neck, whatever, kind of help you loosen up and stuff. I kind of thought about doing it, but there was, like, a line of, like, eight dudes when I, like, looked over there. So I was like, meh, not worth it. So we putt around for a while and hit a couple more balls and stuff. And one of the guys, he brought a, I don't remember which one it was, but it's basically like a little track man. He brought it with him. And I hit my driver on one. And my club head speed was 220. And they're all like, oh my God, that's crazy. Like, holy. And I was like, is that good? And they were like, oh, bro, what are you talking about? Is that good? And I was like, I don't know. But so we finally ended up making it up to the first tee. And, you know, the starter kind of gives us the rundown. He's like, you're going to go up, down, whatever about the course. And he's like, after every three holes, there'll be a hydration station, like a, you know, drink station. I got, you know, all kinds of drinks, a full bar, food, tacos, whatever. Like, I mean, it was pretty awesome. So first shot of the day, I duck hook the hell out of that ball. And I hit a tree and it came back and I found it, but it's like in the sand and whatever. But I had a couple really, really good shots, but for the most part, the round was not super great. But we get to the first, I think it was actually the third. Yeah, it was the third hole. So we're up there. It's a par three, and you, like, obviously you can see the green, but you can't see the, like where you'd park your cart for the green. And so the group in front of us is the other half of us. So there's four guys in the group in front of us, and then there's four of us playing, and then there's another one just riding around. And they, like, walk off the green, get behind these trees, and then the first guy hits and, like, gets within, like, a foot of one of the other guys. And they're, like, and, like, these two guys are, like, best friends. And so he, like, comes running back out on the green. He's like, bro, what the hell? Blah, 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 blah. And he's like, we did yell four. Like, I mean, off contact, we were like, that's heading straight at him. And so we all immediately just start yelling four. Which it ended up being fine. It didn't hit them or anything, but it was just like, oh, here we go. So we, thought that was gonna go pretty rough, but it was okay. But so we go to the first drink station and I'm like, can I get a couple infusions? And he's like, I don't have the grapefruit juice or whatever is in it. And I'm like, okay. And so I just get, what is it made with grapefruit juice to,
it's grape juice. Grape juice, ginger ale,
vodka. Yeah. So I like my infusions with tequila. I just think they taste better. So I ended up getting basically ginger ale and vodka or and tequila. So I was like, okay, it's not too bad. It's not as good as the original, but it's fine. And like I get like a banana or whatever. I turn around and one of the guys, he has just two cups completely full of tequila. It's just two cups of tequila. And like, I'm talking about like, you know, like a solo cup size basically.
Oh my God.
And he's like, yeah, ice, and then just fill them up with tequila. And he's like, and then give me like a splash of 7-Up in there. And I was like, oh my God. I mean, he was okay, but it was a little like, I mean, apparently he knows what he's doing, but good Lord. But no, the golf was crazy. There is, I'm having a hard time like really picturing a lot of the holes. There's one that, so you know, the good guys, how they go to, I think it's Purcell Farms in like Alabama or whatever.
Yeah, one that's like straight down.
Yeah, so that like cliff shot. So there was one like that.
That's pretty cool.
It was super cool. And I hit the green and then I three putted for bogey. So yeah, but it was super cool. The ocean right out there. And then there's a handful of holes where basically the back side of the green drops off to the beach and then there's ocean. So it was an insane place to play, and there's a good chance I'll never get to play it again, but if I do, I'd be excited because that is a
Yeah.
sweet place. Just the whole atmosphere and everything. But it was super nice. Everybody there that worked there was super nice. The food was good. It had some chicken tacos on the turn and stuff. Oh my gosh, they were good. Stuff like that. One of the guys brought a bottle of sunscreen, which was clutch because we're all super white. And we'd all put some on, like, I don't know, a second hole or something. And then at the turn, where we're like waiting for the guys to get off the green, I'm like, hey, do you still have that sunscreen? And he's like, yeah, it's in my bag, blah, blah, blah. So I can go to look for it. I'm like, unless I'm just dumb, it's not here. And he's like, what are you talking about? It's right here. And he's like, oh, that's not good. And so we kind of look around for it and stuff. And we're like, well, I guess it's fell out. So he wasn't playing. He was the one that wasn't playing. And so he's like, I'll just go to the clubhouse and like get another can because we probably need it. Okay, so he goes back, gets a can, do our thing and stuff. We finish up the hole or finish up the rest of the round. There's a couple more good shots. I basically drove the fringe of the green on a par four. It was a really cool par four. It was basically just like slightly downhill with like the green, not like dog leg left, but basically the green was just offset to the left just slightly. And there was like two bunkers right in the middle of the green or right in the middle of the fairway. And so unless you carried them, which was like, I don't know, 270 or something, so it was gonna be pretty difficult. You basically had to squeeze it between them on one side or the other. And I was lucky enough where I basically hit a stinger to the left of them, and it would have been okay anyways, but like basically like just barely would have gotten over. But it just rolled down to the bottom of the hill, and then I chipped up, and I think I parred it, so whatever. But missed the opportunity. My putter was garbage. And then let's see. So we get. Yeah. So as we're like leaving, we're pulling everything out of the carts and stuff, and throwing them back in the van that took us over there. And one of the workers is like, hey, is this yours? And it's that original bottle of sunscreen. And I'm like, yeah, I'll take it. So I took it, and I guess I just like threw it on top of the golf bags in the van. I guess the guy stuck it in my bag because I didn't notice it until we were back in the room Sunday night when I was packing up my golf bag. And I was like, oh, hey, that's crazy. I have that sunscreen. But so we go from the golf course, we drive like an hour back to the hotel. I'm trying to think what time we got there, but basically we had 45 minutes from the time we got to the hotel to be back, like go up, showered, changed, dressed, and back downstairs getting in another van. And I kind of spaced out in the shower. I was just like in there and I was like in a rush and everything. And then I kind of just like slowed down, like caught my breath for a second. And then I was like, oh, this shower feels so nice, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, oh crap, I gotta go. I'm so late. So I'm like walking out of the room and Sarah's like calling me. And I'm like, she's like, hey, have you left yet? I'm like, I'm walking out now. What do you need? She's like, nothing. Just you to hurry up. We're all waiting on you. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I like run downstairs. Little did I know, they weren't just waiting on me, but whatever. So we go, we drive like, I don't know, like 20 minutes to the marina and go hop on a freaking sailboat, do like a sunset sailboat cruise, which was super cool. So we're on that from, I think, like 4 to 7, something like that. So we're on there, we're, you know, drinks and,
drinks wine and charcuterie boards.
Yeah, pretty much appetizers, yeah. And what all that jazz, and just kind of hanging around, watching whales. It was whale season, I guess, and so they're just watching whales, here and there. It's most of the weekend. Rabbit season. But I will say that was kind of cool. Saturday morning, I was just like sitting out there with my smoothie, watching whales and stuff. I was like, all right. But yeah, so we do that, and then that was super, super, super cool. It was a really nice sailboat. We debark off the sailboat and disembark. I don't know. We get off the sailboat, and we're like going back up to where the vans dropped us off. Sorry, I dropped my pen. And we're like going, you know, waiting for the vans to pull back up because they're supposed to be there, you know, the next 10 minutes or so. 10 minutes passes, nothing. So they're like trying to figure out, well, there's some miscommunication and the vans weren't planning on picking us up, basically. And so we're like, oh crap. So it's going to be like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, something like that for them to get back. So we're just like hanging out and everything. And immediately once we get off the sailboat, there's all these locals like basically swarming us, trying to, you know, they got these iguanas in little sombreros and they're trying to get us to, you know, put them on our shoulder and take a picture. And then it's a $30 picture or whatever. And so, you know, by the end of it, I had like told this girl or this lady, like I told her no, like twice. And she like obviously understood what I said and like left and like came back a second time.
Yeah, knows the same in both languages.
Right. She knew exactly what I was saying. And then they send this kid over, and he's probably like 9 or 10. And he's got, I will say, he has one of the biggest iguanas I've ever seen with a sombrero that's like the size of a half dollar. It was hilarious. If he had a sign that was like $3 for the picture, I'd have done it. But I was like, I don't, because I know the deal. It's like, oh, you're going to take the picture and then be like, oh, $35, whatever. So I was like, no, dude. And somebody, I'm sure somebody in our group took a picture with the iguana, but I was like, no. And we, somebody was, because he kept trying to like put it on my arm. And I was like, no. I was like, kind of started to get like a tude with him because I was like, this kid does not realize how far I will throw this iguana. Not really in the mood right now. I'd basically been on an all-day bender in the sun, and I was exhausted. So they get, like, a text, and it's like, okay, the van's going to be here in 8 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. And so I'm like, okay, perfect. I'm going to run in. Basically, it's like this boardwalk section where they've got, like, bars and restaurants and stuff. I was like, I'm going to run in here and go to the bathroom real quick. So I go in there, and there's a couple of the people – like that we were there with, and they're like at a bar and they're getting shots. And I say something, I make a joke like, oh, you guys are going to take shots without me. And he was like, oh dude, he was like, perfect. He was like, how many you want? And I was like, what? And he was like, basically, so I forget the brand of tequila, but you know, the tall blue and white bottle with the bell on the top.
Casa Azul or Casa Azul or something like that.
Sure. So that one. So basically there was three of them, and he was trying to buy the bottle from them. And but for some reason they wouldn't just sell him the bottle. And I was like, why don't you just have them like measure out how many shots are in there and then just buy the shots and take the bottle with alcohol in it still. I'm sure that probably wouldn't have gone well, but basically there was like, I think there were six shots left in it. So there's like three for them. And I was like, I took one, and then like two of them took another or something, whatever. So he ended up leaving with it. But, I was like, glad I could help. Went and like peed and stuff, and then the van was there. Rode back, just partied really. I don't think we really did anything Saturday night after we got back. I don't have any receipts between, so wake up Sunday, and I just like hang out on the couch. Sarah kind of had, we went and got breakfast Sunday, at the, I think the restaurant at the hotel there is called The Ledge. It was super good. Got these, what are they called? They were just like, chicken enchiladas with like Christmas sauce, like the red and the green. Ooh, doggy, they were good. I got a orange smoothie with like carrots and ginger and turmeric or something. I don't know, something. And they were all like, Sarah was like, you're not going to like that, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, we'll see. And she was like, how is it? And I was like, I immediately remember how much I hate carrots and like blended up carrots, because they're so fibrous. And so it's like the taste isn't bad, but it's just the fact that it's immediately just like trying to drink wet hair. Like, it's just like, I feel like I'm going to suffocate here. But besides that, it was really good. And then me and Sarah's sister really didn't have anywhere to be for a while. Sarah had to like go, and she's a bridesmaid, and so like she had to go, you know, do that stuff. But I basically just sat in the hotel room most of the day, laid out on the balcony for a little bit. Really didn't do much. The wedding was at 5:45. I think it was at 5. And so like I had to be dressed and everything downstairs by 5 or 4, whatever the time it was. And so we go down there, and it was funny. So like her sister ironically had to be down there for, something about 30 minutes before I did. And so I was like, perfect, I can shower. So I like get dressed and everything, you know, get down there, and I get down there, and, my brother-in-law, Ben, who's the one getting married, him and like his two groomsmen and I think another guy or two or something like that. They're like all kind of sitting around in the lobby by the bar or by one of the bars, and they have all got a drink, and they're all, you know, they're all ready to roll and stuff. And, just talking about like, you know, he was asking me, he was like, you know, were you nervous like before the wedding and all this stuff? And I was like, honestly, like I wasn't nervous at all until I was like, I was a little nervous getting dressed, but once I was dressed and just kind of, you know, standing around doing nothing, I got incredibly nervous so fast. And he was like, really? He was like, you look like so calm and collected and stuff. I was like, yeah, no, dude, I was having a time over there. And, but he was just like, well, that makes me feel a little bit better. And I was like, okay. But, yeah, we just kind of talked about that and stuff. And, you know, it's like probably the biggest sigh of relief you get is once you walk back down the aisle and you're just like, whew, all right, that's it. It really doesn't matter what else happens the rest of this, you know, time. Like, it's done. We did it. We did the one thing that we're supposed to do. So that was another thing. So Sunday morning we wake up. I wake up to Sarah reacting to a text message from Addison, the bride. Basically, she busts her chin open, and I was like, oh my gosh. So that was real fun. Hello, sweetie. Hi.
Hi.
Sarah walked in.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
Oh, you had no idea, huh? But yeah, let's see. And then the wedding was really, really good. It was like kind of off the lobby. But it was like overlooking the ocean and stuff. It was really, really nice, really, really pretty. It was a little warm with the sun just beating straight down. But oddly enough, like even playing golf on Saturday, the UV was only like 2. Just kind of odd. And then, let's see, from there, we went, yeah, after the wedding, like, wrapped up, or the ceremony wrapped up, we went down kind of below the pool. There was, like, a little concrete area. We had a cocktail hour and everything, and had a bunch of, you know, what do you call those things that they just kind of pass around?
Hors d'oeuvres?
Not hors d'oeuvres. But I thought hors d'oeuvres was like a specific one.
You're so cute.
I thought like one of those was an hors d'oeuvre, basically. Oh, okay. Well, look at me. Yeah, so they were passing out around hors d'oeuvres, I reckon. And, you know, drinks and everything like that. And then we go up for dinner, and the dinner was amazing. Had some sushi, some steak. I don't even remember. I don't remember all the details, but it was so good. Small items served before dinner. Often, my cocktails. Oh well, look at me. I look so dumb. Sorry. Gosh. But yeah. So after dinner. Or, like, as dinner wrapped up, we basically just started dancing and stuff. And they had a Polaroid camera. And so just rocked the Polaroid camera, took a bunch of cool, fun pictures and stuff like that. What? Sarah took more than I did, but I still took a couple. Anywho, they kind of did the thing that happens a lot at weddings, which is really annoying once you look back on it, is where, like, at my wedding, they kind of hid the cake. Like off in the corner to where like, unless you really knew about it, like you just didn't get any at all.
Yeah.
Well, what they did for this one was like the dance floor was right next to the table, and they went back and, you know, put a slice of cake in front of each person's seat. But like, unless you just happen to go over there to like, you know, get something out of your suit jacket or your purse or whatever it was, like you weren't really gonna, yeah, you weren't really gonna know. And so a lot of it wasn't eaten. I did have a couple bites. It was really good. And then we just danced and danced and danced, and then right before we were gonna kind of close things down there at dinner and then kind of shift up and go up to the roof. And a couple minutes before that, I went up to the room and like changed shoes and stuff like that, just cause my back was killing me. And I laid down for like 15 minutes and then went up to the roof and had some more drinks and hung out and all that good stuff. And, then went to sleep so hard, and then woke up Monday. And we had to be out, like, we had to be out of the room by noon on Monday, and the van was picking us up at 12:30, and so it worked out really well. Like, went to breakfast, kind of same thing as the day before. I got a green smoothie this time, and they talked even more smack about it, and it was still delicious. It didn't have carrots in it, so it wasn't, like, trying to drink hair, but it was still really good. Got up, and I was a little stressed about, like, I was like, we only have 2 hours to be out of the room. We should probably go back up and sit. We had the entire room, like, completely packed in, like, 30 minutes. But I seriously thought it was going to take, like, a full 2 hours because we had stuff everywhere. It did not. We got it all done and everything, and then went and had a glass of water by the pool while we waited for the van to pick us up.
What?
I'm sorry. Oh, she's yelling at me. Let's see. And then, she's yelling at me more. yeah. And then went back to the airport. The exchange rate for pesos and dollars right now is like 17 to 1. And so I got Panda Express. a water and a Pacifico, and it was like 600 pesos or something like that. After doing the math, it was like $37. It was $37, whatever that is in 37 times 17, I guess. But I was like, holy crap. Well, I mean, with a beer and like a $4 water, it's not too bad. Yeah, and then the flight back to Dallas was really nice, honestly. Again, the captain was like, hey, as soon as we get wheels up, it's gonna be 2 hours and 3 minutes in the air. And we're like, huh? What do you mean it's gonna be 2 hours? So I'm like, okay, very cool.
We got the thing on go mode.
I guess, dude. Good Lord. We were trying to get this bottle of tequila back with us, and I was like, well, I am checking my golf bag. So I was like, let me stick it in my golf bag. So I stuck it in there, wrapped it up and everything, and it made it back to Dallas A-okay. So I don't know, but we landed in Dallas like, I guess, like 20 minutes earlier than that. So maybe we were only in the air for like an hour and 40, but we landed, and it was like, whatever, Delta flight, something's in front of us at our gate. And we're like sitting in the plane. We're like, well, there's an open gate right there. Why can't we just shift over and go over there? But so we had to wait like 20 minutes, and then we got off and everything was cool. And we got up to customs in Dallas, and it was just a line. Oh my gosh, this line was long. I mean, it, like the thing on the, you know, the animated board said it was like an hour plus. And so we're like, oh gosh. So we end up getting mobile passport control or something like that. It's like an app that basically like take a selfie and scan your passport. And so we basically skipped the entire line, and we probably waited like 8-10 minutes. But again, it was like, are you declaring this? No. Are you declaring this? No, 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 no. And it was like, okay, smile. And they had a little webcam, and you know, they're like, okay. They're like, ooh, Mexico, very nice, blah, blah, blah. And then I guess mine pulled up, and he was like, ooh, you grew a beard. And I was like, yeah. So he's like, all right, yeah, have a good day. I'm like, okay, man. So, again, just trash, but whatever. Yeah, and then got home, and that was pretty much the Mexico trip. Super, super cool. Would definitely like to go back. Super fun. Yeah, then pretty much just work. So that's pretty much been my week. What you been up to?
I finished up that NIDA conference last week, and then a bunch of us went to Javier's in Dallas, which is like this super nice Mexican food place. And it's like, yeah, it's Mexican food, but it's not like your normal Mexican food. It's like, there's like a few steak dishes, a few shrimp dishes, and a few like chicken dishes. And none of it's just like enchiladas or anything like that. Like, they have fajitas and stuff, but it's more so like when you get steaks, it's like, okay, you either want your steak covered in mushrooms and bell peppers and stuff, or you want it like folded over with cheese and jalapenos in the middle, which is what I did. It was called the Ranchero de Durango, I think. Yeah,
you're telling me that they fold this steak in half.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a skirt steak, like fajita meat steak.
Okay, that makes more sense. I was thinking like a prime rib or something. You know, like an inch. No. Yeah, like an inch thick. They just fold it in half.
No. Like a skirt steak. It's all like Mexican style skirt steak.
Right.
It's not like ribeyes.
Yeah. Like that, I got you.
But nonetheless, it was super cool. It's connected to this cigar bar, which it's just Javier's cigar bar.
That's cool.
And so we went in. We were there like an hour early for reservations, so we all kind of just hung around drinking, and it felt nice to feel rich for a night, I guess, hanging out with super rich people.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, one day.
That's kind of how I felt all weekend until I thought about things, and then I was like, yeah, but now I just feel so poor.
Yeah.
So.
And then on, so that was Thursday, actually. Friday, Saturday, I don't remember anything crazy special. Well, Maddie left.
That's
she went
right.
on her bachelor trip. So it was kind of just me at home. Saturday night. Oh, actually, Saturday morning, I went and sighted my rifle in, shot some pistols, got a private range up in Oklahoma. So that's super nice to go to every now and then. Then went to Shields that night, bought new Magpul furniture for that rifle and got all that switched over.
Did you say Magpul furniture?
Yeah. That's what it's called, like gun furniture.
Okay. I would not have known that.
Yeah.
Huh. So wait, you sighted it in with
Saturday morning.
With the other stock on it?
Yeah, the stock's just two bolts. It's a free floating barrel. I mean,
I know, I was just curious.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it really shouldn't make a difference, but I was just curious.
Well, I wasn't planning on buying it because it would have been about $400, but two of the items were on sale, so it ended up only costing me like $220 to switch all that over.
Oh dang, nice.
Yeah, when it was going to be about $400.
Right.
One of them had the stock itself was a returned box. I'm assuming because all the parts are there and it's perfectly fine. I'm assuming that somebody bought Remington 700 short action, but needed a long action.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
Because it makes things a little different. So, I went to Shields and I was like, oh, I've been wanting this for like 6 months now, and I just haven't pulled the trigger on it. And I was like, screw it, it's on sale, I'm buying it. And then that night I was hanging out with three others. We ended up on the way home. Well, we were trying to find dinner there, but everything was packed in that the Colony area. So we ended up stopping at my Bucky's, grabbing a case of beer and some barbecue sandwiches and just hanging out here for like 3 or 4 hours after that. So that was kind of fun.
Nice.
But then Sunday morning we golfed. When I'm with I was with Mike, Scott, and Josh from my last company, and whenever we're together, we play that like triple six game where we all get to play with each other once. You know, you play six holes at a time, and then switch partners.
Yeah.
And so that was good. My team, whoever I was partnered with, we didn't lose, so I won all three of them. So that felt pretty good. Usually it's Mike that wins all three of them. Whoever's his team was with, they usually win all three of them. But I was playing some good golf. I don't know why right now, but like, I'm just striking the ball well, I guess.
Nice. There you go.
So it's like, it's one of those deals. Wow, this is crazy. I'm not shooting like, fuck, 72. I'm nothing like that. But like, I can go out consistently and just play better golf and have more fun.
Yeah, there you go.
But nonetheless, it was super good. It was a par four. And you kind of like, it was fairway and then it got real narrow and there was water kind of in the middle, but it got real narrow right there and kind of went over a hill. And so if you took it like right over the cart path on that left side, and you would end up like 60 yards from the pin.
Oh, and, okay, nice.
So I hit my drive and end up in the water. And I was like, well, what are you going to do, Scott? You know, he's like, you lay up, you go for it. He's like, nah, I'm going for it. By this time, he was kind of maybe a little drunk. He's like, I'm going for it. And nonetheless, he did. Sure enough, he did. He went for it. And he got it. And then we had, I think, like 58 yards or something like that. So I took a 60 degree and I put it within like 3 feet. And like, it was a nice feeling. I got a video of it somewhere. Like walking up, and then you had to like walk in a bridge over. It's like we parked the cart, so I grabbed my putter out, and I'm just like pimp walking the whole bridge in front of everybody.
Sure.
as one does, right? But yeah, nonetheless, super fun. And then I came home and went to bed, and on Monday I had taken off. Me and Maddie had a bunch of errands to do and stuff like that, so. And she was supposed to be getting home from her bachelor trip. Bachelorette trip. Sorry,
How was that?
that's what that's called. They had a ton of fun. They went to Austin, and her boss's parents know, or her boss, they know a couple, like, they're family friends with, I guess they're family friends now, friends, still just friends, I don't know, with a couple people that they've known from a long time, and they've got quite a bit of money, so they kind of ended up joining them. And one of the guys, he's like 40 or something like that, and 30, he's between 35 and 40, and he ended up like paying for one of their dinners one night. It's like super nice place, and he was like, "Doesn't matter, it's all on me. I got it, guys." And so I was like, "Shout out that dude,
Heck yeah.
save me some money."
Yeah, there you go.
And then, but regardless, Monday they're supposed to be leaving. They wake up at like 8, and they're trying to kind of in the lobby by 9, 9:30, and the hotel lost their keys.
Their car keys?
Maddie's car keys.
Oh no. And that kids is why you don't valet.
Yeah, but there's
Oof.
like it's Austin. You have to
Yeah, I
valet.
guess it's true.
It's the middle of Austin. There's no other option.
And
And
that kids is
so,
why you don't go to
yeah, there you go.
Austin.
Stay out of big cities.
Big facts.
But so that ended up turning into a all day deal. They did not leave till 6 p.m.
How do you do that? How do you lose? I'm assuming the guy who went and parked it just stuck him in his pocket and then got pulled off to do something else and just forgot they were in his pocket or something and went home with them or,
Maybe.
I
I
mean.
have no clue.
Because, like, they
I
should
have.
just be on the, there's like a board or like a little cabinet or whatever with all the keys in it.
So it was like the first 2 hours of it was like, "Oh, we're looking for them. We're trying to contact people who might have had them." And then it's like 11:30, 12, and they're like, "Okay." They had went to like lunch and everything, and like shopping around Austin, then went to lunch and like the whatever was super close, and get back at like 12, 12, 11:30, 12, 12:30, something like that. And Maddie's like, "Okay, what's the word?" And he's like, "Okay, so yeah, we can't find your keys." And Maddie's like, "Okay, so we haven't done anything." And they
Yeah.
were like, No. Well, we called a locksmith." Locksmith gets there, tries to do it. His computer's not updated or something like that. Has to go all the way back to his shop, come back here with new computer. Still can't figure it out. They have to call another locksmith
Oh my
who
God.
gets the job done in like 30 minutes.
Good Lord.
But now it's three of them. Everybody that was there with them throughout the day was like, "Okay, well, yeah, it'll probably get figured out here in the next hour or so." Like her boss and her husband, by the time Maddie got in their car, they were already home, unpacked, on a walk, and all that stuff.
Yeah,
Yeah,
jeez.
so Maddie was also a little mad that everybody was just like, "Okay, well, yeah, bye."
Yeah, I mean that's kind of fair. But at the same time, it's like you assume they're gonna find them.
Yeah, that is
So
true.
they got a new key for the car, but like did she have other things on her keys? Like she had like a
Well, yeah,
house key and
so she
stuff?
had her apartment key, and then like a gym membership that was expired. So,
Okay. But
yeah, she
still, it's
didn't keep
like,
a whole
good
lot on her
Lord.
keys, which is good.
I mean, I'm assuming that if they show up, they're gonna mail them to her.
Yeah, it doesn't work anymore, so I'd hope they mail the apartment key though.
Yeah.
But
Jeez, that's
I told her, well, she so
rough.
she came home, and I was like, "Okay, let me see your keys." And she was like, "My key." And I was like, "No, keys. Where's the set of keys that he made for you?" And she was like, "Well, he only made me one."
Is it a
She's like,
push
"But
start?
it's the remote keys."
But I mean,
Yeah,
is it a push
it's push
start?
start. Yeah,
Okay.
it's push start. Sorry, I thought for some reason my brain went to auto start. And I was like, I don't know if she has auto start on her car,
Yeah, I got you.
but push start. Yeah, she has push start. So, she gets here and she's like, "But I have my other key." And I was like, "Babe, he had to reprogram these keys. Like, no other key works for your car now." And she was like, "What? I didn't know that's how that worked." I was like, "Oh, you gotta be kidding me."
Well, I mean, I think if, yeah, I mean, she probably had to take it to somebody, but if she takes both keys to somebody, then they can program both of them together.
Great. I had to pay $100 for that because some hotel messed up. You know, it's just one of those deals. They should have just made her two keys. The guy, I mean, they should have enough common sense to make her two keys. But
regardless. Have you tried the like the other key?
The old key?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't. Jeez.
Regardless. So I told her, I was like, well, don't lose your keys. Your key. Period. Yeah. But regardless, it was fine. She got back home at about 9 o'clock, 9, 9:30, 10, something like that. Cause it's about a 3.5 hour drive. And then you had a couple stops. They had to drop a girl off in Waco. So, yeah, not a fun day for her. And I was sitting home alone all day. It was just like, great. I took off work for that.
Exactly. I guess the bright side of that though, is it was on the way out, like back home for the trip versus on the, like, you know, heading to the bachelorette trip. So, yeah, I mean, that's definitely not fun, but.
No. But then we ended up getting all that done. So we did, we got our marriage license and.
Yeah, I saw that. Good deal.
What else did we do that day? Oh, God, a little freaking product review real quick. Not really. But kind of the Harbor Freight boxes, like Pelican boxes, but Harbor Freight brand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. They're awesome.
I bought two of them and I love them so much.
That's what I have my camera in. The one thing I will say that I probably need, and like I've seen people say it a bunch and stuff, but you basically get, I forgot what it is, but essentially it's Plasti-Dip. Yeah. And you basically, once you have your stuff cut out the way you want it, because there's two layers of foam in there, you basically plasti dip them so they don't just continue to fall apart and stuff. That, and then using like glue to like glue the top and bottom in, because some of them, like every once in a while, the top foam in mine, it'll just fall down. But
yeah, if you like your box, so my box is like an everything box, it's kind of stand. I took that top layer out. And, like, right now, I had just went to the ranch with Finley. Like, it had a bunch of range stuff. So, I had, like, a couple boxes of ammo. Like, I'll always have both sets of, like, Allen keys in there.
Yeah.
But it's more of just, like, for me, it's a range box. Like, oh, I'm going hunting. I need this set of crap for if something loosens or, you know, just a go box. But, so, I bought a couple of those. Pretty sweet. Love them so far. And then we went to the ranch with my boss. We left Wednesday morning.
You played golf Wednesday morning, didn't you?
I went to the driving range.
Oh, okay. I thought you played.
No, I just went to the driving range. Yeah, left Wednesday. We're recording this Thursday night. So we hunted Wednesday night. And we went to this first piece of property and they're pulling all the oil rigs right now, like the pump jacks and stuff.
Pump jacks, yeah.
Yeah, they're pulling all that up out of the ground. So it's one of those areas that, like, here in 6 months when it quiets down, probably be back to normal. But right now it's, I think the wildlife are just kind of on edge.
Sure.
But we were calling for raccoons, and we got one to pop up out of a tree, so we shot him. And I know there's like 30 that live right in those little woods, though. It's like a good stretch of woods on a river and then like a field all the way to the road. So woods and the rivers in the back. But it's a super nice big piece of property. Once it quiets down, it'll be real nice.
Heck yeah.
And then we went to a couple areas, called for coyotes, couldn't get anything to respond. Even like the last two times that I've been out there, like at night, we're hearing coyotes.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just like dead. But like last night we heard one coyote right when we were cooking steaks at dusk. And that was the only dog we heard all night. We didn't get any to play, anything like that.
Really? That's surprising.
Yeah. But nonetheless, when we were headed back, because this piece of property is also the one that has the house on it. So we were getting back, and It's like super flat, but it kind of goes like at a downhill, just like gradually. Or no, the front stays up, and then the kind of the bottom of the field goes down. And so when we're driving in, I can't see the feeder. And Finn's like, I don't know if anything will be on it. I'll drive all the way to the house, which the house to the feeder is 200 yards. The gate to the feeder is like probably 1,000. He's like, it's no big deal. Like I'll just drive into the house and we'll park it. Well, he parks it. I get out, scan the feeder, and I'm like, Finn, there's like 20 pigs down there. And he's like, what? No way. I was like, yeah, you know, get your, or come look through this thermal. And he's like, okay, well, you know, let me see that gun. Fire up your gun and you know, let's try to close in on them a little bit. So we're 200 yards out the house. We get in, walk a little bit. I'm like, he's like, all right, check what we are now, because I'm my new night vision. I got that range finder.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it says like 165 or something like that, 160. And he's like, okay, yeah, let's get a little closer. And I was like, yeah. I was like, what do you want to stop at? He's like, let's go to 100. So I was like, all right. Started just like counting my steps, and I was like, okay, that's like 60 more steps. Let's see where we're at. And we were at like 110. He was like, yeah, that'll work. And so we
Close
both set
enough.
up. Yeah, he's like, we both set up, and I don't know why he did this, but he grabbed the 223 instead of the 308 SCAR. And we got like halfway, and he was like, dadgummit. I was like, what? I was like, I grabbed the wrong gun. And I was like, oh, great. But nonetheless, we ended up shooting two pigs. It was really like four actual, not four, probably like eight actual big pigs. And the rest of them were like probably 50-pound yearlings.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you're big enough to be a pig, not a piglet, but like also, it's extremely hard to shoot you while you're running at night.
Yeah, they're just
And
toddlers.
yeah, and I've got the bolt gun, which I actually really liked. I still got like four shots off last night. And if my
Yeah.
first shot would have dropped the pig, I would have got probably one more pig at least.
Yeah.
But the new night vision, that's the first time hunting with it. Love it. Especially like that situation. It's a plowed field, feeder 200 yards out, flat. It's like, yeah, night vision's great there.
Yeah, for sure. You got nothing to worry about there, yeah.
Nothing to worry about. Your light shines forever. And so,
Yeah, I watched that
yeah.
video you sent me. It looks really nice, honestly.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. It's good, like, inside of it, too. Like, not just the video recording and the recording. So at night, you can only record in 4K 30 FPS on that thing. Now in the day you can record at 4K like 120 or something like that, you know?
Okay, I got
So you
you.
get a lot more frames a second. So you have to record in super low resolution at night. So what I'm seeing through my actual scope is a lot clearer than that,
Yeah, I mean
which is
that.
nice.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I figured.
Yeah.
Heck yeah, I'm glad you like that scope. I mean,
Yeah,
seems like
I'm
a
glad
pretty
I
good
like it
deal.
too. We can finally start killing some stuff at night.
At
Because I mean, the last
night.
like 3 years, I've been trying to find something that I like actually like,
Yeah,
and then I'll
'cause
sell it off, and I'm like, oh, I'll just use it for the next one, and then I'm like, money goes in, money goes out, and it's
yeah,
like
exactly.
a year down the road, I'm like, dadgummit, I need a night vision again,
Yeah, it gets that
and
time of
trying to
year.
figure out what I need and what I want, but I think this setup right here is going to last me a long time till I can find. I want to find just like a smoking hot deal on a thermal, and that's when I'll have both.
Yeah. Yeah,
So,
I mean, that's what it do, I reckon.
yeah. All
But
night last night, I didn't even take my gun, because all the other spots, it's more like scanning and stuff. But like when we got to the house, I took that scar off. And I was like, hand it to Finn. And I was like, told him to use this, and he didn't. But because I was like, this is a perfect opportunity. There's pigs. They're at a feeder. We just dumped a whole bag and a half of corn on the ground. Like, they're not going anywhere.
right.
Like, we're 200 yards away at the truck. The truck's all the lights on, crap like that. And
They
they're
don't
not
care.
moving.
They don't
And
care.
we're great wind. So I was like, I'm making the switch, and I want to get this on video. I'm a new. on my new gun.
Yeah, that was a good call.
Regardless, it was a pretty fun night. We didn't. So right after that, I was like, "You think we should go get these pigs?" And he was like, "Nah, we'll just pile them up in the morning." He was like, "Maybe we'll kill some coyotes off it tonight." Well, we go inside, unload, kind of, you know, set our guns up under the awning and stuff, and then like door blows open and it's now raining. And we were like, "What in the world?" Wasn't supposed to happen till like right about now. But I guess that storm came 15 hours early.
Yeah, I mean it's rained here all day. Yeah, I mean it rained on the way to work and it rained on the way from work, and you know, it let up here and there throughout the day, but I mean it was just nasty and wet.
We were like, we had to change a couple cameras, do a couple things to a couple feeders, and we got that all done on Wednesday. So we were like, well, thank the Lord we did all that on Wednesday, because there's no doing it right now.
No kidding.
No, I ain't doing it right now.
Yeah, but I really need to go put batteries in my main camera on my feeder. And did we talk about how my ground blind flew into the pond?
Oh yeah, yeah. We mentioned that on here.
Yeah, so I still need to go take care of that, but I haven't really had time, and also the water temperature is still so cold. Because I'm basically gonna have to just get in it, and it's gonna suck a lot. So I'm hoping, gosh dang it, if I don't do it this weekend, it's not happening the weekend after. So it's gonna be another 3 weeks from now for me to get it.
Well, by then the water temp will be up.
Yeah, maybe, unless we get another 3 inches of rain over, you know, between now and then, you know, over 10 hours or something, and it just chills it back down. But yeah, well, hopefully I can find somebody and be like, "Hey, here's $20, go get it."
Yeah,
but that'd be super nice. But yeah, I gotta go do that. I need to shoot the 300 again, just to kind of settle the nerves and make sure that everything's going well with it and all that kind of stuff, and
yeah,
whatever. But
yeah,
should be good to go. Kind of walked it in, and you know, I'm pretty happy with where it's at now. But you know, riding the truck all the way back from Lubbock, I want to make sure that nothing's come loose, or you know, it's not the scope, or you know, try to just triple check, make sure it's where it needs to be. Because
yeah,
you know, I don't really want it to.
You go grab that big 30-06 from my dad here soon. You mentioned that.
Yep.
I got some crap to take to him, though, so that'll be perfect.
There you go.
To the old switcheroo.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Heck yeah. Well.
Yeah, I'm going to get up, start making dinner. I think Maddie should be off here in the next couple minutes, so.
Yep.
That's about all I got. I'm excited. I don't know how recording will go next week. I'm assuming we'll do it before we leave for the trip.
Yeah, we'll probably do one like Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, that way you have a little time to...
Probably Monday if we can. Which is going to be a short turnaround, you know, between this podcast and that podcast. But it won't come out till Friday, so it'll be good. It'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll have something to talk about going forward.
Yeah.
Talk about the future.
It's right. And then we can recap it the next week, so it'll be good. It'll be good time. Good time. Yeah.
Yeah, so. Perfect.
All right, well... I guess we're going to get off of here and, I don't know, get dinner ready and stuff like that. So, we'll chirp at you next time.
Adios.
Peace.